Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. Since the 1990s, the YMCA has been among the nonprofit organizations who receive tax-exempt status in Kansas. No sales tax, no property tax. Their community centers and workout facilities throughout the state, including many locations here in the Kansas City area. For-profit health and fitness club owners, which do pay millions of dollars in taxes and provide similar services, have recently been crying foul. And the legislature is considering bills that would, sponsors say, level the playing field. It's a big issue with real implications for not only where you might work out and how much it might cost, but also community programs and services. And joining us to sort things out are Mark Hewlett. He's Chief Strategic Alliance and Asset Officer for the YMCA of Greater Kansas City. Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
And joining us by phone from Wichita is Greg Ferris. He's director of the Kansas Health and Fitness Association, which promotes the fitness industry. He represents several dozen private gyms and health clubs around the state. Greg, welcome to Central Standard.
Nice to be with you.
Greg, I actually want to start with you, since you're among those who are supporting this effort to change Kansas laws. What's the problem here as you see it?
Well, I mean, there's a multitude of problems, and I'll try to be as brief as possible.
Please.
Different, and I know most of your listeners are in that area. The Kansas City area, I represent, against YMCAs, but even more so, they compete against government-run fitness centers like the one that's being built in Olathe, the one in Johnson County, the two in Johnson County, where we have two taxes, and those taxes go directly to build. Their competition.
Yeah.
Competition then.
Greg, I'm sorry. Greg, we're having some trouble with your phone line. We're hearing some of your words, but not all of them.
I apologize.
We're going to take you off the air for a second and try to establish a better connection, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. That's Greg Ferris from the Kansas Health and Fitness Association, and we're going to come back to him in a moment. There are actually two bills that are being considered in the Kansas legislature. There's a Senate bill that would extend the same tax exemption to for-profit health clubs that is currently enjoyed by groups like the YMCA. There's also a House bill that would actually take away the tax exemption that the YMCA currently receives. Let me turn to Mark Hewlett of the YMCA while we're reestablishing our connection with Greg. Mark, I assume you're opposed to a change in Kansas legislation.
Yeah, we are definitely opposed to that. We feel like the YMCA is so much more than the discussions that are happening in those legislative sessions at this point. So we feel like the YMCA earns its tax-exempt status every day in every community that we serve in.
Now let me try to get clear with the two different bills. Is the YMCA opposed to the Senate bill? I mean, are you willing to see for-profit health clubs receive a tax exemption?
I would leave that up to the legislatures to make that decision. But I think the YMCA stands on its own two feet with the direction and the communities that we serve. And we would be for keeping our tax exemption status where property tax exemption. And if we were to lose that, we would also lose our sales tax exemption.
Why should the YMCA be tax exempt when these other health clubs are not?
Well, I would say that through the generosity of our donors, we're able to provide services to low-income families in low-income communities. In demographically challenged areas around the Kansas communities. And that's not just in Kansas City. That's across the state. And we're talking about a statewide initiative here that provides opportunities where there's no other options for child care. There's no other options for education and wellness opportunities for those that just can't afford them.
Let me turn back to you, Greg. I think we've got the phone line in better shape now. What's wrong with that? I mean, that's hard to argue with, right?
I apologize for the connection. I don't know that I heard everything that the gentleman from the YMCA, that Mark said.
He's making the case that the YMCA promotes programs that benefit the whole community, goes beyond the workout facilities they provide. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm not as familiar with the Y in Kansas City as I am with the Y in Wichita. The Y in Wichita, for example, they're not building YMCAs in low-income areas. In fact, the YMCA in Wichita has more corporate members than they do low-income members. They have, according to their own internal records, they have about 17% of their members are low-income members. So they're getting 100% tax exemption for a 17% contribution to the community. And I'm going to tell you that I have clubs that give from a monetary standpoint, on a percentage standpoint, as much back to the community as those clubs do. That's not to take away from the YMCA. I think the YMCA does some great programs. They do some great things. And just so you know, we're not advocating, our organization is not advocating this year that the YMCA pay taxes. We have not supported the initiative that the current bill has that taxes the Y, nor did we speak as a proponent of that bill. So we are not in a position right now to argue that the YMCA should be paying taxes. We actually believe that the more appropriate and more fair is that the clubs that are providing many of the same services as the YMCAs and as the community centers be in the same situation and be tax exempt like they are.
But that would put you in a unique category of businesses that are for profit that would not be paying taxes, wouldn't it? I mean, we don't do that for bowling alleys. We don't do that for roller rinks. Why should health clubs receive that kind of tax exemption?
That's a great question. There are two very good reasons for that. First and foremost is that there is not another industry that competes directly against nonprofits that provide similar and like services that are 100% tax exempt. So that's the first argument of that. The second part of that is not every nonprofit is tax exempt either. The YMCA enjoys a very, not totally unique, but a unique in the sense that they are 100% tax exempt on selling products, and as are the government agencies. Selling products, their facilities, their income, everything is tax exempt. Their donations that they receive are tax exempt. So they are in the very same similar business that we are, and they enjoy those tax exemptions, even though not all of nonprofits enjoy that. So this uniqueness that, I mean, it exists in tax law. We don't believe that it's a situation that is that unique, because frankly, we believe it's unique because there's nothing else like it. Nobody else competes directly against the government and competes directly against nonprofits to provide almost the same service.
Okay. I want to invite our listeners. What do you think? Should YMCAs be exempt from taxes while for-profit health clubs, your 24-hour fitness, your Woodside Tennis Club, your Curves pay up like any other business? If you go to the Y, would you pay more to go there because you support its broader programs and outlook? Give us a call, 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. I want to give you a chance, Mark, to respond to a point Greg made. He pointed out that the Wichita YMCA may be different than some of the YMCAs that our Kansas City area listeners are familiar with. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty well documented that the YMCA in Wichita, and I don't want to speak on behalf of their board or their CEO or their president, but it's been very well documented that their model is very strong in their community. It doesn't mean that they haven't earned their tax exemption either. But when you look at the entire state, which this bill does impact, and we're looking at 28-498, the House bill, if that were to pass, I think what we'll see is a reduction in services. We'll see those that are already struggling to be a part of the YMCA or YMCA programs and services have even a more difficult time to be a part of that. And I'm looking at the general YMCA across the board, whether it's in youth development and education opportunities, whether it's in the social responsibilities, we're teaching kids how to swim and be safe in the water, whether it's about coping with chronic disease and foundational pieces from our diabetes prevention programs, our cancer survivorships. These things make us very unique, as the gentleman from Wichita said.
Yeah, Mark, if the YMCA did have to start paying property and sales tax, do you have an estimate of how much the financial impact of that would be? How much money would that cost? What would be the impact on your program?
Yeah, within our operating three counties that we operate on the Kansas side, in Wyandotte, in Johnson County, and in up north in Atchison, we feel like in the north of $300,000 probably annually is what that tax, property tax, will cost the Y, which is significant dollars. And again, not to put Wichita on a pedestal, but they have a unique bottom line. And the YMCAs in the other eight major communities in the state of Kansas They're not like that. And for every dollar that we have to do something else with, it only burdens our ability to provide the services and programs that we already do.
And Greg Ferris of the Health Club Association, not all YMCAs are the same. You've acknowledged that, but you've also got some financial issues at stake here too. How much money are we talking about? How much profit is going to taxes in Kansas each year from these health clubs? And maybe another way to ask that is, how much revenue would the state lose if it passes this bill?
Well, the state itself loses about $400,000, according to their records. Our records show it's probably not quite that much. Statewide, it's about a $3.5 million, and that's across the entire state of Kansas for every club that exists out there. You're looking at that. There's a couple things. First of all, the bill that's in, and again, as I said, we don't support that, but the bill that exists does not tax every YMCA. It only taxes YMCAs that receive the majority of their income from selling a service. So, actually, the YMCA in Kansas City is pretty close to the threshold of not even qualifying to have to pay. Looking at their last tax return, their government contributions and their contributions from others represents about 25% of their revenue stream. And the threshold is that if you receive, according to the way the bill's written, if you receive more than 40% of your revenue from selling services, that you are no longer tax exempt. And the idea, I think, that the legislature had with that approach was, if you have a small YMCA in a small community that basically is a charitable organization, most charities are supported by donations. Most charities aren't supported by selling goods and services if they want to remain tax exempt. For example, Goodwill. Goodwill is tax exempt on their donations, but they're not tax exempt on their facilities and on the sales that they make to try to raise money for the great programs that they do. And the idea there is if they're selling something, they're selling in competition with another secondhand store, and therefore they shouldn't be tax exempt. So if you are getting your revenue from donations, then you are in contributions and grants, you keep your tax-exempt status according to the way the bill's written.
816-235-2888 is the number to call with your questions. Let's talk to Gail in Basser, Kansas. Gail, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I don't take the mantle of all the retirees in Kansas, but I am a retiree, so I would like to speak to that issue. And I know that the Y program offers substantial discounts to people based on their income, and they do have facilities that are just amazing for retirees, like swimming pools. I mean, I don't know how many fitness centers have swimming pools, but it just seems like another cheap shot, so to speak. I'm sorry, it just doesn't seem quite equitable on the surface. And if you look into the programs to see how many retirees take advantage of the lower income benefit by joining the Y, because especially in Kansas where, the weather, you need to get inside and be active.
Sure.
Swimming, ping pong, whatever they've got. It's not treadmills and stationary bikes.
Great. Gail, I think we take your point. I appreciate it.
okay.
Thanks for the call. Let me put that question to Greg Ferris. The Y behaves in certain ways. It gives sliding scales based on age for retirees, as Gail mentioned, but also other low-income people. Are health clubs willing to do that if they're receiving a tax exemption?
Well, I think that you'll find that the majority of Kansas health clubs already do that. They may not advertise it. My mother's 90, going to be 92 this year, and she is a member of one of the local health clubs. If she was to leave there and join the Y, her membership fee would actually, even with their sliding scale, would be higher because of the accommodations that this particular health club makes for seniors and for some of their things. So while that isn't one of the primary things that health clubs advertise, they do it on a regular basis. So it already exists.
Let's talk to David in Independence. David, welcome to Central Standard.
Yes, my comment would be no, they're no longer eligible for a tax deduction after closing the locations that they did and moving them out into more profitable areas to compete with the for-profit gyms and so forth. They shot themselves in the foot by not servicing that core needy person that can't, drive out 40 miles to a health club or 20 miles.
Yeah, which location in particular are you thinking about, Dave?
Well, Independence. Mm-hmm. They shut down Independence a year and a half ago.
Right.
My parents now have to drive all the way out to Blue Springs for that. That's a 20-mile round trip. That's not acceptable. You know, they've relinquished their ability to do things for the needy, in my mind, by closing that facility.
Appreciate that point, David. I'm going to give Mark Hewlett from the YMCA a chance to respond. He raises an important point. The Y did just close facilities in maybe some of the less profitable areas. Wanted to close the Kansas City, Kansas location, although that one remains open. Mark, what? How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say that the Y hasn't given up on underserved communities. I think we continue to reinvest in those communities, whether it be in Atchison and in a 100-year-old, probably the oldest Y west of the Mississippi River, and continuing, 100-year-old building and trying to find ways. But it goes back again to the community support and the donors and those that can help and partner with us to support those communities. And unfortunately, it's never the wish of any executive director, CEO, president to shut down opportunities for people to be healthy. We continue to look at opportunities to stay in communities, but ultimately we have to do the best job with our dollars that we can and reinvest in the people of every community that we can. But at the same time, sometimes it just from an operating standpoint for the Y as a whole to survive, we had to make some very difficult decisions. So that still rests a heavy heart for the YMCA.
Bill in Fort Leavenworth, we're almost out of time. Could you quickly ask your questions of our guests?
Yeah, I'm not sure I have a question. I have two comments.
Go ahead.
Number one, I'm betting that the YMCA existed when all of the health clubs we're talking about decided to go into business. So they knew that there was competition from the Y. The conversation or the argument really has to do, if it is with leveling the playing field, with lowering the prices at the private clubs. That would level the playing field. But I don't think that there's room for someone to start crying foul if they knew what they were up against when they decided to go into business.
Yeah, I appreciate that point, Bill. Thanks for calling.
All due respect to your speaker, that isn't correct. I mean, they didn't get their tax exemption until the late 90s, and most of these health clubs existed prior to that.
Yeah.
And new health clubs that are being built by the Y are in different areas, so that's not quite a good argument.
Actually, we had a caller who didn't stand the line from named Ken. He asked, how did the YMCA get its tax exemption in the first place? This hasn't been around forever. Mark, do you know the answer to that?
I don't. From a historical standpoint, I know it did come in the late 90s in the push. To do that, we did receive that at least on the Kansas side in the 90s.
Greg, do you know any more about that?
Sure, they went to Topeka and lobbied and got their tax exemption, just yeah. Like anybody else goes to try to get a bill changed.
So, I guess the last question, and we have to give a very short answer. I mean, is there a broader philosophical issue here about providing this? This could extend to religious organizations, could extend to a lot of other kinds of nonprofit services. Is there ever a time when a tax exemption for a nonprofit group is in order, Greg Ferris?
I don't have a big problem with tax exemptions for nonprofits. We're not proponent of the current bill. We think there are, and we didn't get into some of the health values and some of the other things that could happen as a result of passage of Senate Bill 72.
Sure. And I've got to cut you off, Mark Hewlett. Last word.
I would say that as we look at improving lives and families of individuals in Kansas, and this tax is a tax on reducing obesity, education, drowning prevention, and coping social diseases.
So. Mark, thank you so much. I'm sorry to cut you off. Thanks to both Mark Hewlett of the Greater Kansas City YMCA and Greg Ferris of the Kansas Health and Fitness Association. Appreciate both
thank
being
you to
here.
Both for allowing us to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear this conversation again or any previous show at kcur.org. Go to the Central Standard page. Join us tomorrow when we explore the entertainment business that is Sporting KC and also Egg Wars. Stay with us now for Up to Date when they'll be exploring the nursing home industry. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Christy Garten. With Kate Baxendale, I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.